Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. For the rest of this hour, we're talking about the opioid epidemic. The nationwide problem began making headlines years, if not decades ago, but it's still on the rise. The latest statistics puts the rate of fatal overdoses at one every 13 minutes in the United States, meaning by the end of this segment, the widespread use of these drugs will have taken another life. This prompted President Trump to declare it a public health emergency back in October and the White House to host a summit on the subject just last week. There have been countless treatment centers opening up across the country and money being invested in research and prevention through treatments like drugs like Vivitrol. But one group is going straight to what they say is the root of the problem, the big drug distributors that push these pills out across the country in the first place. Travis Bornstein is the president of Teamsters Local 24 in Ohio, part of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, which is a trade union. Travis joins us now to tell us a bit more about the Teamsters' efforts in the face of the opioid epidemic. Travis, thanks for talking with us.
Yeah, thank you guys very much. I appreciate the opportunity.
We are talking about the International Brotherhood of Teamsters' role in the fight against the opioid epidemic. You can join the conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. So, Travis, start me at the beginning. What is the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, and how did that form, and then how did they get involved with the opioid problem?
Yeah, so I gave a presentation at our national convention just about 18 months ago on the opioid epidemic and how I lost my son to an overdose. And Tyler had broke his right arm four times and had two surgeries on his right elbow. The first surgery was at age 11, and the second surgery was at age 18. And ultimately, Tyler got addicted to the opiate prescription pain medicine, which led him to heroin. Four out of five heroin users first begin with the use of opiate prescription pain medicine. Ultimately, what happened to Tyler on September 28th of 2014, Tyler was in the process of overdosing, and the person he was with, instead of calling 911, took him to a vacant lot and dumped him in the field and left him there to die. So from that, our family formed a nonprofit organization called HopeUnited.life. And then I really reached out to our general president and said, hey, as union leaders, we need to be community leaders. And there's nothing affecting our communities more than the opiate epidemic. And so I gave about a 15-minute speech or so on the epidemic. And at that point, it kind of drove us to keep pushing this issue. And so with that being said, the Teamsters have been long-term investors in each of the big three distributors, and we've been leading growing shareholders movement over the past year for real change at these companies, including oversight and accountability at the highest levels.
So the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, you said, was investors in the big three pharmaceutical companies?
Yes, we have, led a coalition, I cannot speak on behalf of the coalition, but we've led a coalition of investors on the Opiate Accountability Act, and that coalition has $2.2 trillion. And so what you're seeing is, the Teamsters and other groups are stepping up and saying, we need some reforms from these big three: AmerisourceBergen, McKesson, Cardinal Health, that are, distributing and flooding our communities with opiates.
So what you're saying is, so the International Brotherhood of Teamsters, part of, I guess, what, their retirement investment savings, things like that, are going into funds that then invest in these pharmaceutical companies. And what your coalition is doing is going to these pharmaceutical companies and saying, you need to be held accountable for getting the opioids in to kids like Tyler.
Exactly. That's right. There's no doubt that the overprescribing of opiate pain medicine has led us to the worst drug epidemic in the history of our country. And, these three companies control, like 80% of that. And so, they're flooding our communities with opiates.
So this coalition is called Investors for Opioid Accountability. correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Who else has joined along with the Teamsters?
Well, there's a huge list. I don't have them all.
I don't need to give the whole list, but it's kind of groups like the Teamsters?
Yeah, and investors who, you know, are trying to push back and recognize what's going on within these companies. And so, you know, we're just trying to, you know, push back, have some reasonable reforms, and hold the, you know, the big shareholders accountable to what's going on. You know, everything cannot be about money. At some point, it's got to be about people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's what we're trying to do.
And you mentioned earlier the big three. Who are the big three?
So the big three are AmerisourceBergen, who we were just recently at, McKesson, and Cardinal Health.
Okay. So, and those are the three pharmaceutical companies that you're speaking in front of.
Yeah.
And they've been accused
right, they're
pill dumping.
Say again?
These big three have been accused of pill dumping. At what point does distributing become pill dumping?
Well, I mean, you know, when there's, you know, I just give you in my home state in Ohio in 2015, you know, there's 700 million opiates distributed in my state. That's enough pills for every man, 60 pills for every man, woman, and child in the state. So, I mean, come on. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to see, you know, that we're flooding our communities with opiates.
That's a significant number of pills. Before we get to the AmerisourceBergen specifically, the Teamsters, they've had success in the past with the other two of the big three. Can you tell me a little bit more about those past efforts?
Yeah, so, you know, we've had key victories at McKesson and Cardinal Health, who have taken steps toward the reforms. And, you know, trying to listen to some of the oversight. We've had changes with the chairman of the board at Cardinal Health. And, you know, I think that they're recognizing it, you know, that these reforms and that we're asking for and some independent oversight is reasonable.
So when we fast forward to March 1st, the AmerisourceBergen is holding its annual shareholder meeting at the Ritz-Carlton here in Naples. Why was this one different from the efforts in the past?
Well, you know, I think, one, they left their home state of Pennsylvania, you know, which is the fourth highest overdose rate in the country, and came to Florida, you know. You know, I think that says a little bit about the company.
To hold this meeting, you mean?
Yeah, you know, to hold the meeting and, you know, down in Naples and instead of in their home state. I think that says a little bit about the company. But I think this, you know, this was exciting. I mean, the shareholders' response, a majority of the independent investors supported the cause for reform. More than 60% of the independent shareholders supported a cause for transparency of the board. And nearly half of these investors supported the Teamsters' proposal for independent board chairman. So, you know, we felt like we did good.
So you came down to Naples and you spoke, and it went positively. You asked for an independent chairman of the board to safeguard the shareholder interests, and those shareholder interests being different from just dividends.
Right, right, yeah. And, you know, I got the opportunity to speak and kind of share our story and just put a real face on it. You know, I think sometimes, you know, people need to see a real face and what, you know, what this is doing to our communities, you know, and the amount of, you know, destruction that this is causing all across our country. You know, this epidemic is in every community, it's in every school, it's in with every employer. And we got to start addressing it if we want to try to, you know, start changing some of this.
We've done a number of shows talking about the opioid epidemic, and it is definitely an equal opportunity addictive resource. A lot of people, it doesn't matter what your economic background is or any other thing, that does not preclude you from becoming addicted to opioids. You actually spoke at that shareholder meeting about your experience losing Tyler. How do you feel like the board took that kind of a testimony?
Well, I think, again, you know, put a real face on it. You know, I think they you know, they showed some compassion, you know. But with that being said, you know, that's just talk. I mean, you know, one of the last things I said to the chairman is you can tell what a man treasures by where he spends his time and where he spends his money. And I think if the company wants to truly start doing the right thing, then they need to put these reforms in place. And then they got plenty of opportunities to give back to grassroots effort like mine, Hope United, and help us start solving this problem in our neighborhoods and our communities. And this company has the kind of money that can help us. And the question is, will they do that or not?
Yeah, and another proposal looks to enhance the transparency. How do you expect pharmaceutical companies to make things more transparent? You gave me a summary earlier talking about the number of pills in your state of Ohio, 60 per individual that lives in Ohio. How can they make things more transparent in that way?
Well, you know, the company has paid, you know, multi-million dollar regulatory settlements. So there is no doubt that, you know, they have flooded different parts of our country and different communities with opiates. And so they've got plenty of opportunities to look at that stuff and make those corrections now. I just think that's what they should be doing. They need to be moving and helping us solve this problem instead of saying, hey, you know, we're just a supplier, we don't prescribe, you know, and all that stuff. You know, hey, we all, the thing about the epidemic is that there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah, there are.
There's plenty of blame to go around, right? And so, with that being said, we need companies like AmerisourceBergen and McKesson and Cardinal to step up to the plate and own their role, you know, own their role, and then let's start talking about real solutions. And that's how we're going to get to, you know, solving this thing.
Do you anticipate this being similar in some ways to what happened with the tobacco industry?
Oh, I think so. I think, yeah, I absolutely. I guess, you know, obviously the big difference is the amount of deaths. You know, I think, you know, in 2016, we're looking at close to 64,000 Americans died. You know, that's more than the Vietnam War that lasted 18 years, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, the amount of deaths that's happening and what it's doing to our communities and, you know, our families and our neighborhoods. I mean, it's real. The epidemic is real.
Well, and as you probably know, AmerisourceBergen was the subject of an investigation by the House Energy and Commerce Committee. Have there been any findings released from that investigation?
Well, I'm not 100% sure on that. I just know that they've paid, you know, multi-million dollars in, you know, regulatory settlements and so forth. So, and I know there's hundreds of lawsuits pending. And so I'm sure some of that's all coming.
It's interesting that you're coming at it from a very different angle, which is the investments and the monies that are going into these pharmaceutical companies and talking to the individual investors and shareholders about what the companies they're investing in could be doing or what they're doing.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, that's sometimes what the only thing people listen to is money, right? And so when you can have an impact on their investors and people can see the harm that this is causing our country, at some point you got to put the brakes on this thing.
And just a few days before the shareholder meeting, Attorney General Jeff Sessions announced the creation of a new task force on opioid distributors and manufacturers. How did you feel hearing that news? Because you said a lot has changed in the last year. I mean, does this give you some hope?
Well, you know, like I said, I think there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of things that need to be addressed in this, you know, from our government to, you know, right down into our communities and understanding how we got here, you know, how did we get here? And then, you know, there's all kinds of issues as it relates to education, as it relates to prevention and treatment. You know, we've got 23 million people who are in active addiction that can't get treatment because there's not enough treatment facilities, you know? So we got a mess. We got a mess, and we got to really start working together on how we're going to solve this. So it's going to take all hands on deck. It's going to take everybody to start talking about this and understanding it. And then, you know, on the addiction side, you know, we have to understand addiction as a disease, okay? Because if we don't understand it as a disease, then it's always you big knucklehead, why can't you stop, right? But if we understand it as a disease, then we're going to respond like we do with every other disease, which is with love and compassion. And that's where we have to start within our communities to help solve this problem.
And then shifting gears from the activist to the father, what kind of advice would you give to parents who feel that their son or daughter may be in the throes of addiction or may be dealing with this? What kind of advice would you like to offer?
Well, the first thing you got to do is you got to understand it as a disease, which I didn't. When we were in the middle of this, I didn't understand addiction as a disease. You know, and so I made all the wrong mistakes and, you know, hey, Tyler, why can't you stop, right? You can't stop having cancer or heart disease, right? And so, you know, as a parent, you have to understand it as a disease. And then I think the next big thing is you got to have hope. You know, there's also 23 million Americans that are in recovery, long-term recovery, living good, productive lives every day. And, you know, I think, you know, we all feel the destruction in this thing, but parents and families need hope. Hope that their kid can recover, you know what I mean? And the first thing that you got to start doing is you got to own where you're at, you got to recognize where you're at, and then you got to start seeking help and seeking treatment. And don't hide in the shame with the stigma of the disease of addiction.
Well, if there's one thing that they know, they're not alone. There are a lot of people being impacted by this. I want to thank
That's
you for
exactly
sharing
right.
your story with us and sharing your story with those shareholders and investors and all the work that you're doing. Travis Bornstein, he's the president of a local chapter of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters in Ohio and founder of Hope United. He was in Naples last week speaking before the shareholders meeting for one of the nation's largest pharmaceutical companies regarding the opioid epidemic. Travis, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it very much.
Our show today was produced by Rachel Iacovone, Mike Canary, and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.